Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all with thanks to Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. And for the thrill of the chase, Sunday mornings on 7-2. Well, we've done four clubs so far, Jim, as we look back at the trade period of each of the 18 AFL teams. 14 to go, and tonight we're up to Essendon and Fremantle. Let's start with the Bombers, because I think it's fair to say the outs were certainly bigger names and more significant than the ins at Tullamarine for 2021.
Oh, certainly. Established names. Joe Danaher, famous Essendon name. Look, let's not forget that. That's one of the most revered names at the footy club. There, Joe Danaher, he tried to get out last year. They didn't facilitate the deal there. The Swans were coming hard. And they lost him for a compensation pick. Pick seven. He went up there to the Lions. Look, it seemed like they were more active than what actually ended up being produced. They seem to be into everyone, the Josh Dunkley situation. You finally get a player to commit to your club who's still got 2 years to run on his deal in the prime of his career, and then you leave him sort of on the corner. You don't get the deal done. So that's probably the disappointing thing for the Bombers is you put this young bloke out there, he publicly declared he wants to come and you don't get it done. So 7 and 8 were done for players who wanted it away. So Danaher, obviously the compensation pick, and Adam Sard, who's a very, very good small defender for pick 8 from the Blues. Pick 6 was their ladder position. Now, you can set your club up for a long, long time if you nail those 3 picks. 6, 7 and 8 are great picks to have. Now, I don't think they should be looking to trade up or anything like that. Keep your 3 picks. Obviously, some NGA picks will come. So then you'll have some really good players in that window. And Nick Hine adds something a little bit different, a bit of speed from the Saints, which they got for nothing really. And then it was a very late pick going to the Saints to get that deal done.
What did you think of Peter Wright coming into Essendon? And I've got to say, I felt bad for him. His first press conference, already the pressure on to live up to the expectation of replacing Joe Danaher.
Well, he can play a little bit of ruck. He'll play the full forward position. Joe Danaher hasn't been there really for the last 2 years, so he'll fill the traditional full forward role. He'll come out of the goal square. And look, he got caught behind some players playing some good footy. Obviously, King up at the Gold Coast demands his spot. But Sam Day came on really well. Finally, had a lot of injuries early in his career. And he was just on the outside looking in. He needs to get a bit more energy in his contest work and that work rate up. And he could be a really good deal for Essendon, especially on his contract and how hard it is to find young key forwards.
It's interesting when you see a player delisted by one club and then picked up elsewhere. That's the case of Sean McKernan. Couldn't get a game late in the year at Essendon. St Kilda goes, hold on, we'll give him a crack. We reckon he can slot in nicely and certainly be a backup. Should they have let him go, the Bombers?
Well, I think with Peter Wright coming in and the development of Draper as well, Draper's going to be the number one ruck. He's a monster. He's shown through the back half of the year that he can certainly hold down the number one ruck position. So I guess it was a surplus. Also, you've got to balance salary caps and also picks and things like that. Bring players in. Wright's younger. He's a bit taller. Plays probably forward a little bit better than McKernan. But he just keeps presenting Sean McKernan, doesn't he? He doesn't get hurt, doesn't get injured, and he gives his absolute maximum every time.
Jai Caldwell comes down from Greater Western Sydney. What can you tell Essendon fans about him? Because he's only had a few games under his belt.
Yeah, begrudgingly, the Giants had to see him go. They wanted to hold on to him. Look, he's a point of difference through the midfield. He's got fast feet in the contest. So by that, I mean, if he wins it inside, call it the phone box, a metre away from the ruckman, he's got a nice little step to get his hands free or get a kick free and release a player into space. He's not the big, tall midfielder that Essendon's been saying they've been wanting to get for ages, but he's explosive, had a really good underage career, but also had a lot of hamstring injuries, and this is why the Giants are disappointed. Yeah. They spent 2 years getting his body right, and now he's gone out the door for a good deal and probably a starting position in Essendon's midfield there.
So the Bombers out, Danaher, Fantasia, McKernan and Sard. In comes Caldwell, Hyde and Peter Wright. And as you say, Jim, 6, 7 and 8. It's been a long time since a Victorian side had 3 picks inside the top 10, any side other than the expansion sides, for that matter, 3 inside the top 10.
Yeah, and always the discussion then comes for a list and recruiting people. Adrian Dodoro and his team is, they always say take the best available, especially in 6, 7, 8. But if you're weighing that up, you say if you've taken 2 midfielders and you're weighing up between another midfielder and a key position, well, then that's when you've got that luxury.
Are they a finals team in 2021, the Bombers, or are they a toss of the coin?
Toss of the coin. I think just recent history says toss of the coin, doesn't it? Because, they haven't played finals in 13 years?
Yeah, 2004.
Yeah, so
longer.
So you can't say out now, like slam it on the table, they're definitely playing finals.
No, absolutely not. I just, my question with Essendon is they get Dunkley and all of a sudden he puts you in a really nice spot, whereas with picks 6, 7 and 8, you're getting in that youth, and how much impact are those picks and those players going to have on your group in 2021?
Well, we have seen first-year players in recent years have an immediate impact. If you look at Caleb Sarong over at Fremantle. Yep.
Sam Walsh.
Yeah, Matthew Rau before he was leading the Brownlow. Like, I'm not saying that Matthew Rau is going to be there at 6, 7 and 8, but there are first-year players that can have an immediate impact. They've still got a lot of talent on their list and players who have been all Australians as well. So they've got a lot of guys who have been to the best 22 in the comp at one stage in their career.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real find-out year about the Bombers. The fact that Ben Rutten was pulling the strings, but underneath John Worsfold this year, and all of a sudden that parting and Ben Rutten able to control it. Fascinating times at it. Tullamarine. Let's have a quick look at Fremantle, and I say quick because there's not really a lot to digest out of their trade period, but the one thing that we can digest involves your footy club, Jim, and I talk of the Greater Western Sydney and Jesse Hogan coming out. We talked about Jesse earlier in the week. I questioned the decision as to him coming to the Giants, but it's a fresh opportunity for Jesse Hogan after a couple of off-field indiscretions, not able to find that form that he showed at Melbourne to get a new start at Greater Western Sydney.
Yeah, his form wasn't that bad last year. He still played quite a number of games. Now, look, Freo are going in a different direction under Longmuir, and he's been very good as a coach, Longmuir. You can see what he's trying to build, defence first, and then they'll add layers of attack. The reason probably why they weren't so busy during this period is they've got such a good young group already, and I'm excited to watch this Fremantle group, and it's not often you say that about Freo, do you? Because Ross Lyon's sides were very, very good sides. Let's first acknowledge that. But they weren't exciting to watch. Now, you have a look at this Freo side. Brayshaw, Chera, Sarong, as I mentioned. Tabner's now finally reaching his potential. They've got guys down back.
Luke Ryan. Australian, yeah.
Griffin Logue in previous drafts. So it's almost like they've had 3 drafts in a row. They're now all building together. And that's exciting. So that's why they're relatively quiet. They like their young list. Pick 12 and 32, they'll still find very good players. You're not really going to be able to package that up and get up higher. But with a lot of Western Australian and South Australian kids being able to play footy, they'll be able to see a lot of kids under their nose and make a good selection at pick 12.
You can see what Fremantle wants to achieve at the moment. And I think late in the year, you could really see that Justin Longmuir brand of footy coming together. And it was great to watch. I mean, games against Carlton, I think it was, in which Nunes kicked the winner after the siren, but an awesome contest. Collingwood as well. They've really took a giant step forward for me this year, Fremantle.
Yeah, and a fully fit Nat Fyfe.
Yeah.
He was fantastic last year and he wasn't fully fit. I know you and I call a lot of games together and we saw him having to be parked at the goal square because, you know, his body was just letting him down off the shorter break. So you got a fully fit Nat Fyfe. There's talent. There's young talent across the lines. Darcy's a good ruckman as well. He's a big, big body. There's enough there, and they'll be one of these sides. Look, I'm not saying they're a top 4 side, but they'll make the next step again.
No, and I think that's all fans would want. If they can get that step forward and be competitive for finals, that's going to be a massive tick for Fremantle in their second year under Justin Longmuir. Our club-by-club trade recaps will continue tomorrow night. We'll put the Cats and the Suns under the microscope. Don't miss the thrill of the chase, the latest Greyhound news and feel-good stories this Sunday, 10 a.m. over on 7.2. Wednesday night edition of Sports Day. It's all with thanks to Wilson Holmes.